Okay, who was slapping their knee on that song? Was anybody? I was getting ready to get up and dance, but you don't want to see this white guy dance. It'd be an ugly sight. Wow, I love incredible gifts like that. And what a song, an incredible song that we are the church. Who's the church? We are. And that we are what God wants to use to change this land. He's going to use us to do mighty things in our world today. You know, I'm so thankful that we have the opportunity to come and just really dive into God's Word and see how we can grow to become more like Jesus. But last week, Pastor Wayne, he's always pushing us to raise that bar of excellence. And I love our church and how we always live at excellence in our lives, which is a great example for all of us. And last week, he brought this display that was so nice. Remember that display? Who saw the display last week? You know, and it took up the whole room. And I'm sitting in the front row thinking, I'm teaching next week. I want that. And anybody like that? I want that. I'm sitting there and I got to teach next week. How am I want that. And I started drooling as a little kid. I want that. So Tuesday came around. I pulled the staff together. I said, we can't go backwards. And we can't let Pastor Wayne do better than this week. We got to do good. I said, how do we do this? And none of us really knew at first. And then we started gathering together. And when you do church as a team, you are able to display and do the impossible. So, I love doing church as a team because it happens. It makes it happen. And so, actually, I know that Pastor Wayne is watching online right now, so I hope it looks good. And so I love it using technology, but I got to tell you, I use an iPad now. I always do my notes on an iPad, but then now I have another iPad. I have to do the display on the other iPad. So if I look like I'm orchestrating if I'm doing the conducting of an orchestra up here with my fingers, I'm just turning pages. That's all I'm doing up here. And so I know that we're called to live life with excellence. And so I'm so thankful that we have a church that lives that out every single day of our lives. And so I'm so excited about talking today about how to develop 10 times the wisdom. This new series that we're jumping into, it has an incredible title. It's really long. It's called 10 times. Okay? And we're going to fill that in. 10 times what? Each week. How God wants us to grow 10 times in different areas of our lives. And we opened it up in this first week kind of reflecting on the life of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. When they were at a point when King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came in, took over Jerusalem, he pulled these four guys into his court because he obviously saw something special in these guys. And he said, I want these guys in training because I want them in my courts. I want them to be some of my top guys. So they went in there, and he says, in doing so, I want you to eat the royal food and the royal wine. But Daniel spoke up and said, no, we don't want to defile our bodies with the royal food and the royal wine. We will eat just vegetables for the next 10 days. And if we look tired and fatigued, then you know what? We'll continue and do what you want. But if we don't, then you have to give honor to our God. Well, the great thing about this is if we look at what the king said to them, I love what he says because it shows how great our God is. I'm going to read this out loud. It says, the king talked with them. And out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. Then it goes on and says, as for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them, what? 10 times. Say it one more time, ready? 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. So we have to understand something, that God wants to take us from one place to the next, and he wants us to grow 10 times. He wants the world to be able to look at his church, his body, and say, there's something 10 times greater about them than we're experiencing here, because as we live through the power of God, we can move in our lives 10 times greater ways. 10 times greater in our wisdom. The Bible says if we want wisdom, just ask. Just ask God and he'll give it. And so as I was looking at this first week of this series, I thought, where can we really dive into and understand wisdom? And I thought of the book Proverbs. You know, the nice thing about Proverbs is if you open your Bible, this is a great kid. I learned this as a kid. If you open your Bible, there's Isaiah. Oops. If you open your Bible and it's, there we go, right in the middle. Open up in the middle and there's Proverbs. Isn't that great? So every day, there's a book for each day of the month. After you do your life journaling, you can just open your Bible and read the day's proverb. And so that we can grow in wisdom and who we are in Christ. That's a great thing about, one of the great things about Proverbs. But also about Proverbs, if you look at it, many people think that Proverbs is a book of principles and sayings, and it's not. It's about people. It's about people. It's about the different kinds of people here in the Old Testament, the wise son, the lazy messenger, the wicked king, the smooth talker, the upright judge, the excellent wife, the offended brother, the simple man, and the slugger. It's about people. And the great thing about Proverbs is about people because it's about us here in this room. It's about you and it's about me. It's about relationships and who we are. It's about life management and how to manage different things in life and how we live our lives. But ultimately, if you look at the book of Proverbs, it's about wisdom. Let's say that word together. Ready? Wisdom. And how we're called to live our lives with wisdom so we can have good management and good relationships. Do you know that we're called to love the people next to us? Who here, I mean, don't raise your hand, but it's like you wish you had better relationships in your family, in your workplace, in your life. Well, God wants to give you wisdom so that you can grow in those areas, and he wants you to expand yourself and so that you can become more like him and less like yourself. I say that every day. Oh, God, let me become more like you and less like me. I don't know about you, but I like who God is, and I want to become more like him. Proverbs 4:7 says, getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. But also Proverbs 8:11, let's read that together. It says, wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you can want is equal to it. You're never wasting your time when you're investing in getting wisdom in your life. You're never wasting time. It's top priority. So if it's top priority, I want us to dive in and really understand the importance of how we're called to live our lives. I know that wisdom can do many things for you because it has power. It has power. It has power in our lives to do certain things. And I wanted to set up the groundwork here before we dive into the 4 points I have for you today. But it will help you bring change to your life. I know that many of us don't like change, but we all need change in life. See, wisdom helps bring change in our lives. It takes you from simple to wise, from foolish to understanding, from the wicked to the righteous. It helps you change where you need to change. It helps you make the necessary changes to become who you're supposed to be. Wisdom is something that we grow into. See, when we look at little babies, we don't say, oh, that little baby's so cute and wise. Have you ever heard someone say that? No, we just say, oh, it's so cute. And let's be honest. Are there some babies that come out that it's not that cute? Have you ever noticed that? I mean, they come out and like their head's all tweaked and bumps everywhere and dimples everywhere. And you're like, what happened to that baby? And you don't say that. Don't you dare say that out loud, okay? You're going to have one angry mama jump on top of you. But then all of a sudden, weeks occur, and then the baby's head just kind of goes into shape. And then you go, oh, that's so cute. But we never define babies as cute, wise babies. No, we look at older people and say, he's a wise old man, a wise old woman. Because they've lived life, and they've experienced things. And they've been able to make changes in their life to become who they're supposed to be. But not all do that. Not all make the changes necessary. But if we seek wisdom, it will help us make the necessary changes that we need. Also, wisdom helps us lead in our lives. Lead as a father or mother, a brother or sister, an employer, employee, as a fellow student. It gives you the power to lead, to make decisions and where to go and how to do it. I need wisdom and where I need to go, and God will give it and give you direction, and so that others will follow you in the ways of the Lord. It also gives you incredible talent and a gift to make decisions. See, I work with Pastor Wayne, and there's times he calls you into his office and you bring your computer. and your fingers are like on fire, like this the whole time, because you're just taking notes because he's making decisions like that. Is it because he's just an incredible, good-looking man? Nope. It's because he's a wise man. Now, hear me. I didn't say wise guy. I said wise man. He's a wise man because of what the Lord has developed in him throughout the years. And he's wiser today than he was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. He's a wise man. And so he's able to make decisions because he depends on the wisdom of the Lord every single day. It gives you the ability to lead and make decisions in your life. And it also gives you the power to live as a wise person. Have you ever been to one of those funerals and all of a sudden the place is packed out? You see the lives that have been impacted by a certain individual and they live their life with power. And all of a sudden you see the people that they've impacted because of wisdom. See, that's what the Lord has for us today. He wants us to grow in wisdom so that we grow in with influence and grow with power in our lives. He doesn't want you just to be here to take up space. He wants you to fulfill your purpose here on earth and make change, to live with purpose. There's not enough room in our world today just to occupy space. We're called to be contributors of our world today and to invest our lives for the kingdom of God. Amen. So this is the key, and this is important for us, because I believe the Lord wants us to be wise. We're humble and wise. See, most wise people don't acknowledge that they're wise. They just respond in wisdom. They just live it. They're it. They don't say, I'm a wise guy. No. Yeah, you're a wise guy, all right. No. They just live it. And that's what the Lord has for us today. So I want to look at four things that happen, that will take place, that cause us to begin to have 10 times the wisdom. But I want to read a passage of scripture here first to set us up to look at four key points here that will help us cause to begin to have that 10 times the wisdom in our lives. Proverbs 2, verse 1 through 6. Let me just read this out loud. If you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. See, I want you to hear that scripture and understand it, because it's key for us to establish the groundwork of where these next four points will come from. And as you hear these next four points, I pray that you would take it, because wisdom will drive you then to apply it to your life. So how do we allow the wisdom of God, seek it out, and apply it to our lives? Number one is by accepting God's word. You are called to accept God's word. See, this is important for us to understand, because if we accept God's word, what's going to happen is we're going to take God's word here, this Bible, and you're going to use this as the foundation or the map of your life. This is the instruction manual of life. It won't be something that sits on your shelf until Sunday morning, or even sits on your shelf and never comes out. It is opened up daily. See, it's the bread of life. So every day we open it up, we read God's word, and we take it and apply it so that we become wise in who we are in Christ. So this is a key. You have to accept God's word as absolute truth. If you want wisdom, you accept his word. See, I know many of us go to different places for wisdom. I love going to Panda Express. I love Panda Express. It's good food, or at least it is for me, but my cholesterol has gone up because of it. But I love going there, and I love getting their rice bowl with orange-flavored chicken. Who likes orange? My mouth is, like, salivating right now, okay? And I love it. But then they give you this little thing at the end that's called a fortune cookie. You know what I'm talking about? And so we always crack it open to see what it said. And I was given profound wisdom out of one of my fortune cookies. Profound. I was blown away. I thought, this is good. You know what it said to me? It said this: beware of those who do not wear socks. I mean, someone was on drugs when they put that one in there. I'm thinking in my mind, what? I mean, I had to just kind of scratch my head thinking, what does that have to do with anything? See, some of us, we go to certain places to gain wisdom, or we go to the psychic hotline. Help me. Or we go and we ask and see what our horoscopes would tell us. We have to accept God's word as our wisdom. Let's read what Psalms 19:7 says. Let's read this out loud. The teachings of the Lord are perfect. They give new strength. The rules of the Lord can be trusted. They make plain people wise. Let me just ask you here. Who here is plain? Raise your hand. No. Raise your hand. No, all of us raise our hand right now, okay? And we're all plain people, okay? You might have more gifting than others, but do you know that we all sit equal at the foot of Jesus? You're not going to see people higher than you, lower than you. We're all equal. But God wants to give wisdom to plain people. He wants to give you 10 times the wisdom to do 10 times greater things in this world for Him. This is incredible that we don't have to live just ordinary lives. We get to live extraordinary lives. I'm so thankful for that. So life's not boring. We get to have fun. And we get to have fun glorifying our Lord through our gifts and our talents. I love this because this is a privilege that we have. I'd like for us to read this scripture out loud in Matthew 7:24. Let's read this, ready? Anyone who listens to my teaching and obeys me is wise, like a person who builds his house on solid rock. See, Jesus is telling a parable or a story here. And what he's saying here is this. There is a person who has this beautiful home, and they build it on the sand. The rains come, and the home is washed away. And that place is called Malibu, California. Suzanne Summers, bye-bye. As many times have happened, all the celebrities go, and their house is washed away. But then he says there is a wise man who would build his house on the rock. The foundation is solid. The storms of life come. The house is able to sustain itself and stay strong. See, this is what the Lord has for us in His Word, is that we're called to build our home, our lives, on a solid foundation, which is Him. We can seek out many different places and different things, but they'll always be like sand, unstable in all their ways. And eventually when the storms come, they'll just erode and wash into the ocean. I want to build my life on the firm foundation on God's word. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah. Let's seek out God's word as our wisdom. The second thing that we need to understand about wisdom is that wise people ask for God's help. Ask for God's help. Now, see, many of us here, we don't like to ask for help because our pride comes in the way. Don't give me instructions or directions. I know where I'm going. Has that ever been said in your car before? Wives, do not hit your husband right now. But yes, I've heard it said. I've said it. Don't tell me where to go. I think I just said that the other night. I had someone giving me instructions. I would never say her name, but my wife, Terry, is beautiful. But she was giving me instructions. I know where I'm going. I'm going right. Don't go left. I'm going right. No, go left. I'm going right. And I know that many of us don't like to receive instructions, but God wants us to understand that He wants to give us help today. He wants to give us help. You know, Solomon was set up. He was to be the next king of Israel. He was following David, his father. And God says, you can have anything in your life, anything you want. You just ask. And he said this here in 2 Chronicles 1:10. Here's Solomon's answer to God's request. It's like the genie in the bottle kind of question. Anything you want, you can have, Solomon. You can have $10 million. You can have an army bigger than anything else in the world. And here's his response. Let's read this together. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people for who is able to govern this great people of yours. See, Solomon, there's a table with $10 million on it. There's a table with wisdom. He went to wisdom. See, God wants us to ask for help. Open your hearts and ask Him. He wants to give you wisdom today so that you can move into the promises He has for you. But we just have to ask. Ask Him, and He will give it to us. He'll give it to us. Today, the Lord wants us to grow in our wisdom every single day. I love what James has to say about this. I love the book of James. It has a good name, a good ring to it. Don't you agree? But let's read what James 1:5 says. It says this, "If you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask Him, and He will gladly tell you. He will not resent your asking." See, this is what God wants you to do, is ask. He's not going to say to you, "Shoo, get out of here, little kid. You're a pest to me, a bothersome." No, He's going to pour out His wisdom in your life. If you want 10 times the amount of wisdom in your life, ask for it. Ask God, because God is able to give it to you. He's able to give it to you. If you want change, you want to lead, you want to make a difference, you want to have power in your life, ask Him for wisdom, and He'll give it to you. I was reading about consultants in America, and I was reading about how consultants have been making so much money, over $70-plus billion a year that Americans pay for consultant fees. See, AT&T paid over $1 billion just on consultant fees. And their cell service still stinks. I don't get it, all right? It's like, wow, all right? See, we're looking for consultants to give us wisdom on what to do. And to build up consultants, if you give the right information to make the right change, thank God, because it's wisdom. See, the Bible says there's wisdom in the counsel of many. But I believe that today we spend so much time seeking out others for information and for wisdom, we forget to consult God. We forget to ask Him, "God, who should I date right now? Who should I marry? Lord, should I take this job right now? Yes, it's doubling my salary, but should I take this? Or, Lord, where should I send my kids to college? I mean, you know what? UCLA sounds great, but Lord, is it the right time for my kids to leave the home and to leave my influence? Lord, what should I do here in this investment?" See, we're called to seek out God because He wants to give you wisdom, but a lot of times we'll seek everybody else, mom, dad, friends, coworkers, and God becomes our last resort, and we just want God to affirm our decision, say, "Good job, yeah, go for it. You already made your decision." And God says, "Turn it around. Come to me first. I will give you the right information and what you should do." He wants to give you wisdom today. So I want to look at that and understand that, because God wants to be your consultant. He wants to be your wisdom. The third thing that we need to understand is that we're called to search for God's wisdom. Search for God's wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 4. Let's read this out loud. It says, "Search for it like silver and hunt for it like hidden treasure." See, our life is to be about searching and hunting out God's purpose and plan and His wisdom for our lives. See, as we do this, He wants to do such great things by pouring out that wisdom so that when we find it, there's a great reward for it. But He says, "You need to work for this. Come on. Look for it. Search for it." Well, I want to get practical today because I know that some of you are asking this. Well, how do I do that, James? That's great. That's a good point. I understand it, but I don't know how to apply it. Well, let's look at how we apply it. You search out and you work for it by wanting it, by wanting it. If you don't want wisdom, why would God pour it out in your life? If you haphazardly come to Him and say, "Oh, God, I need help. Can you just kind of give me the 411 so I know what to do here?" I mean, come on. If my kids come to me that way, I look at them and say, "Well, you don't want it then. Let's do this together." And you come with an eagerness of wanting it. It reminds me of Socrates. Socrates, a great philosopher, at one time, a young man came to him in the middle of town, and this young man came to him and said, Socrates, I want wisdom and I want knowledge. Well, Socrates, with all his wisdom, grabbed the young man by the arm, says, follow me. Walked him through town all the way down to the river, into the river to waist high. He grabbed the young man by the shoulders. Socrates must have been strong and muscular. And he grabbed him, he shoved him underneath the water and held him there for 15, 20 seconds. And he pulled back up and says, what do you want? And the guy cries out, I want wisdom. I want knowledge. With his arrogant voice of his. Socrates grabbed him again, shoved him back down in the water, held him there for 30, 40 seconds. And he pulls him back up. He goes, what do you want? And he goes, I want wisdom. I want knowledge. So he grabbed by the shoulders again, and he shoved him underneath there, 60, 70 seconds. And he finally pulled him up. He's gasping for air, just trying to survive. And he goes, what do you want? He goes, I just want air. I want air. And Socrates' response to him was this. When you want wisdom as much as you want air right now, then you'll find it. See, we need to search it out, seek it out. Seek out that wisdom. I want us to be people that just won't sit here and say, oh, God, download it into my mind. No, we need to live it out. Proverbs 16:16 says it this way. It is better to get wisdom than gold and to choose understanding rather than silver. You also get wisdom by working. See, this is something that we understand because I don't want you just to see it as someone you just sit and you just read a book or this or that. God wants you to work it out. There are times in your life that you're going to have to work things out so that God can do a complete process in your life. It's kind of like a child who discovers what walking is. If they don't go through the crawling stage in development, they miss out on part of their development and their eye-hand coordination. See, God is the same way. He wants us to make sure that we go through every stage and work it out so that he can develop us into a completion in the process. But he wants you to work for it. He wants us to work for it. We also need to understand to get wisdom is by watching. Watching other people and how they live their lives. Watching what they do. Proverbs 13:10 says this, those who take advice are what?
Wise.
Are what?
Wise.
Wise. I had the privilege, my wife and I, and my oldest daughter, we moved to San Francisco in 2000. We went up to a church in Danville, California to pastor there. It was going to be their youth pastor and one of their executive pastors and teaching pastors. And while we were there, I went up there kind of with a chip on my shoulder. I left a church in Southern California with one of the nation's largest youth ministries. We had 1,000 kids in our youth ministry. Every Wednesday night, there were 1,000 kids show up. It was just incredible. Many kids were giving their life to Christ. We had taken sending missions trips around the world. We had 30 small groups. It was incredible. A youth ministry. So I kind of went up there with a chip on my shoulder. And in the first 2 months, I started to become irritable. Well, if you understand something, the years 96 to 2000, I had many life experiences and events in my life that just derailed me. Made me a very angry person, very angry person. And I allowed anger to fester in my spirit, and I allowed it to take root. And when it took root, I was very destructive with my words, with my actions, and even my thoughts. And so when I went up there, I'm sitting there, and I just became frustrated with one of our pastors on staff. I became frustrated with his lack of enthusiasm and commitment to evangelism, reaching people with the gospel, changing things in a way so that it would be more welcoming for non-believers to come in to experience the love of God. So I became very angry the first couple months I was there. So my pastor called me into his office. Pastor Ron Pinkston is his name, and I sat in his office. He had his big desk. He's on the other side. I'm in one chair in front. He says, what's going on? I noticed some little irritable actions coming out of you. So I took the opportunity. I started to let him have it. I started to tell him everything that was wrong with the church. I started to vomit all over him and spewed all my anger, and it just all launched onto my pastor. After 20 minutes of this, he should have fired me right on the spot and sent me back to Southern California. But he looked at me. He goes, "How are you feeling?" "I feel great." "I feel relieved. I got it all out." Not thinking about how he felt. I just criticized everything he's been doing for the last so many years. And his team that I just jumped on. I criticized everything. He should have fired me, but this is what he did. He got out from behind his desk in his chair. He walked around, and he asked me to turn my chair this way. He got on his knees. He washed my feet. He didn't say a word. He just washed my feet. I didn't understand that. I've never seen a leader do such a thing. Humble themselves in such a way where he saw a guy who was angry, who was pretty messed up. He got on his knees and started to wash my feet. I started to weep and cry in such a way it was uncontrollable. I've never cried like this in my life. And I knew the Lord was breaking something in my life. He was breaking those bonds and those uprooting those things of anger in my life. And says, "James, you will never be the same again. I'm going to deprogram or unprogram you from the old past, your past, of who you are, and I want to make you a new person." And I just knew the Lord was touching my life. He got done. He got done washing my feet and praying for me. He got back in his chair, and he sat with me eye to eye, and he says, "James, I want to take the next 5 years to help reprogram your life, and I want to see you become more like Jesus." See, I watched a great pastor pastor me. I saw what it was like. It was wise. He could have reacted and fired me on the spot, but he responded to the Lord, and he responded in wisdom, and he saved my life. He saved my life. See, that's what God wants us to do as we grow in wisdom 10 times. He wants us to live in such a way that we will make great change. And another way of doing this is by waiting, God wants us to wait upon him, So many times we live in this instant society. Everything's a drive-through. Everything is instant. Instant this, instant that. Put it in the microwave and go. And sometimes we just have to wait it out and allow wisdom to develop in our own lives so that we can become the person God wants us to be. We don't need it instantly. We need to be patient and allow God to do a complete process. It's like anybody else, like an athlete who has to go through certain stages. They might, this is their goal, but they have to develop it along the way, experiencing the tough times and the difficult times, but eventually they succeed in the championship. We're called to succeed in the championship, all of us. And God wants to develop our wisdom 10 times as much so that we can bring him glory at the end. Amen? And so this is God's purpose for us. The fourth thing is, we're called to respect God's greatness. God's greatness. This is what the Lord wants for us today. It says in Proverbs 9:10, let's read this. Wisdom begins with respect for the Lord. God wants us to respect him, respect his power, respect the deity of who he is. We're called to respect him. Not to live in such a way as he owes us, but we owe him everything. Everything. Proverbs 3:7, I love what it says. It says, "Don't depend on your own wisdom. Respect the Lord and refuse to do wrong." So how do you respect God? You love what he loves and you hate what he hates. You love what he loves and you hate what he hates. You hate. You know there's an enemy out that hates you? He hates you. The Bible says that the enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy. He hates you. There's an enemy out for us, and God hates sin. We're called to hate sin, and we're called to love the things that he loves. The people around you, that we are called to love them with unconditional love. And God wants to develop that in us and respect the things of God, and wisdom will flow in our lives and develop in our lives. Well, I want to take us now from the Old Testament to the New Testament. How does this connect to us today? You know, as we look in the New Testament, Jesus is defined as wisdom. And if you're seeking out wisdom today, you need to seek out, first of all, Jesus Christ. He's going to be the answer to growing in wisdom 10 times. I love what it says in 1 Corinthians. You can look at this scripture and read it out loud with me today. Ready? Christ is the mighty power of God. Christ is the wonderful wisdom of God. See, Jesus is our answer, and if you miss the person, you're going to miss God's wisdom. If you don't first seek out Jesus, you'll never experience God's outpouring wisdom in your life. You'll never grow 10 times in your wisdom unless you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can't do it because He is the definition of God's wisdom, of God's wisdom. It says in Colossians 2:3, let's read this. In Him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So as we first seek Jesus, all these things will unfold in our lives and wisdom will be poured out. But we seek Jesus daily. We're called to submit our lives to Him and give everything we have to Him. And all of a sudden, God's going to download His wisdom in us and we will grow in wisdom 10 times as much. And the world will see us, the body of Christ, not as backbiting, unorganized people, but as intentional people, the body of Christ, that's going to fulfill God's purpose here on earth. The Lord wants to use you today. He wants to use you in such a way. He wants to expand your wisdom so that you can have great influence in this world, so that we can bring Him glory. But we got to first seek Jesus in everything we do. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank You for this special day that we have with one another. And Lord, I just pray that this would not just be an ordinary time, but God, this would be a special moment right now where we first seek You. Seek You because You are the definition of wisdom. And Lord, You want to do something special in our lives, all of us. You want us to grow in our wisdom. You want us to grow in such a way that we have greater influence so that we can influence people for the kingdom of God. But God, You have first called us to seek You, Jesus. If you're here today and you've been listening, just like, I want that wisdom. I want to have what You're talking about, James. Then open your heart to Jesus. Open your heart to Him right now so that He can come into your life, so that He can pour out His Spirit in you. If that's you, open it up. Accept what He did on the cross. He died for you. He gave His life for you. He forgave you of your sins so that you can live a life of freedom. He loves you so much, and He wants more for you. If you're here today and you want Jesus, you want to open your heart to Him, you've never done this before in your life, and today's your first day, make that decision. Make that decision because it will be the wisest thing you've ever done. But there are some of you here today, you have done this, but you have walked away from it. And so be wise and come back to Him. Come back to Him because He is the source of life, the source of wisdom. And right now He wants you to receive what He has. If you're here today and you want the forgiveness of your sin, you want to live your life with Jesus, you don't want to live another day without Him, and you want God to pour out His wisdom in you, and you want that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if that's you, for the first time, or you need to come back to Him right now, I'm going to ask that you just raise your hand and say, James, that's me. That's me. This hand's, yeah. Who else here? This hand's all over. Who else here? Yes, yes. Who else? I agree with you. Yes. Praise the Lord. Who else here wants to, I agree with you. Yes, and yes, and yes. I see your hand. Yes. I see your hand. I see your hands. Yes. And today you're crying out to Jesus. It's not about anybody here. It's about Jesus. Yes. Yes. Could we all just raise our hands right now and cry out to the Lord? Jesus, I just pray for every person in this room. As we lift our hands, we cry out and we say, Jesus, it's all about You. and that we cannot live our lives without you. We want you so bad. We receive that forgiveness that you offer to us today, and we choose to follow you every step of our lives. So pour out your Spirit in us today. Give us the wisdom, Lord, so that we can live our lives according to the purpose that you instilled in us in our mother's womb. We thank you for this special day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's applaud the Lord.